Let's just take a second and go around the room and introduce ourselves and everybody knows who we are. I'm Les Sendall. I'm the chair of this committee.
Karen Borja.
Stephen Hike, accounting manager.
Chris Christensen, the interim CEO of the district.
Andrea Hales, special assistant to the CEO and board relations officer.
Laura Bruce, district resident and employee at the RMC.
Linda Evans, chief strategy officer of community advocacy for the Desert Care Network.
Mitch Blumberg, chair emeritus, Desert Regional Medical Center.
Chris Langenwalter, chief quality officer at Desert.
I'm Michelle Finney, CEO at Desert.
Dale Barnhart, helping with inspections on behalf of the healthcare district.
Great, thank you, and thank you for coming, everybody. Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda?
I motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
It passes. Public comment. At this time, comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and are within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. We have a policy of limiting it to no more than 3 minutes. We can't take action on things that are not on the agenda, but and during the agenda, you can make comments on the topic when we're talking about it. So is there any public comment? Hearing none, we'll move on to approval of the minutes. Do I hear a motion to accept the minutes?
I am motion to accept the minutes.
I'll second. Is there any discussion?
I had one amendment. It's next on the agenda from my NEPRA presentation.
Okay, let's do it now then.
Okay. I reported that 11 hospitals in this area, 50 miles of Desert, 2 were A, 8 were C, and 1 was a D. And I mentioned in the report that we were a C and JFK was an A. They were an A, JFK was an A in April, but they were a C in October. So I just wanted to correct the minutes of my presentation.
Okay, I don't actually see that mentioned in the minutes, particularly, are they? Specifically about JFK.
But no, but that's fine.
No, but that's fine. If it had been in there, we would correct
Thank
it.
You.
But
so you withdraw the comments.
So I withdraw my comments.
Well, no. It's fine now, but all in favor of accepting the minutes, not as amended.
Quick question. Was it, should there be a reference in the minutes that Director Rogers resigned from this?
No, this is the last meeting. This is the minutes at the last meeting.
Which is when she verbalized, right? Or
no, that was at the board meeting.
At the board meeting.
Was it the board meeting?
In UCL?
So,
no, at RAP.
It's the board meeting, not here.
Okay.
Which was after this meeting.
Okay, because I was, don't remember at this meeting. All right, that was the one.
It will be announced at the board meeting Tuesday night.
Yeah. Any other non-corrections to the minutes? Okay, all in favor of not correcting the minutes, say aye. All right. The next item is the hospital safety and compliance inspection. And, is it? No, it's not. Well, the next item on the agenda, actually, is the amendment that Christine made. And let's put it in the minutes, so let's go ahead and say it again.
Okay. I'll have the.
You have it?
Oh, yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
I have a report.
Okay. And we know that JFK will do better next time.
Exactly.
Okay. As will Desert Regional Medical Center.
Always work.
Okay. So, item 7, new business, hospital inspection. And Chris, why don't you introduce this?
Sure. As most of the committee and most of us here are aware that the Governance and Oversight Committee has been working with Desert Regional as far as establishing a program and process to do hospital inspections. There was a schedule created that there will be quarterly inspections, that certain areas of the hospital will be inspected each quarter. It's set up to be on a 2-year cycle so that each area will be inspected every 2 years. So on March 5th, we conducted the first inspection of the hospital, and areas inspected were the Sinatra Tower roof, the Sinatra Tower mechanical penthouse, as well as elevator room and Sinatra floors 2 through 5 and the finance department. And I would like to introduce Dale Barnhart, who was the lead on the inspection of that process, and also included were Mike DeToro and Steve Ballard from Desert myself and Carol Rogers, and Les Sendel was there in spirit.
Yeah, because I was supposed to take 6 hours, and so I joined it 70 minutes after the beginning, and it was over.
It could have taken longer, but I don't think would have been happy.
I did not feel that it's not that I didn't feel that I missed something, because it was a very good inspection. But anyway, go ahead.
So, please, if you would.
First of all, I was impressed with the condition of the facility. I think Steve Ballard and his staff continue to do a good job. Of the items that were noted, the majority of them were minor, and I know Steve was pretty much on the phone calling his staff to have them fixed right away. There probably are about five items that I think might take a little bit more time to fix. There were three signs that needed to be replaced, and so I just know how long it takes to order a sign and get those in place. There also was some laminate damage on one of the satellite nurses stations on Two Sinatra that may take a little bit more time. Steve indicated to me that he had a process for getting that done, hopefully quickly. And then finally, on Two Sinatra, there was some handrail damage that I know may take a long time because those items are no longer manufactured in that style. So I'm not too sure how the hospital will proceed with that, but that one may take a little bit longer to get repaired. We also, Chris and I talked a little bit about how to schedule a follow-up survey, and my thought, we'll put that in front of the hospital, would be to, before our next quarterly survey, maybe Steve and whoever else would like to walk around just to confirm that those items have been repaired, and then we'll note that, and then continue with the next quarterly inspection. So
I would like to put that for the committee as well, whether you would like to participate in the follow-up of these items, or if you're comfortable with Mr. Barnhart working with Desert Regional staff, with Steve Ballard, to just ensure that those issues have been resolved and checked off. So whether you'd like to participate with that checkoff process or allow the two of them to resolve that, as well as Desert Regional Medical Center, if they're comfortable.
I mean, I would be comfortable with the two of you arranging a time to just walk through and validate completion of work.
Right.
Yeah, me too. I think this is a very well and thorough. You like looked at the little ends of everything, so I appreciate the details, and I trust that you know what you're doing because your report.
I guess I have a little bit different take on this, and let me process this out loud a little bit, so forgive me if it comes out wrong. I think that the members of this committee should be able to attend the inspection, but I'm not sure that the members of this committee have to be in every part of the inspection. For example, if the inspection indeed were going to be 6 hours long, I certainly don't think that we need to spend 6 hours doing it. But I do think that if we want to attend all or some of it, we should be allowed to. And so what I would suggest is that you schedule the first half hour of the next thing going over the previous things that you've notified. And that's how you start it. And then when you finish that, you go into the new inspection. And again, any of the members of this committee, and we'll probably have another member of this committee eventually, can attend all or part of that. You know, I don't even know what an escutcheon is, and I don't necessarily want to know what it is.
You and I both look up to
that. I know, but, you know, if I learn everything, then I can't remember the dose of digoxin, which we don't use.
Are you recommending that just an overview before we start, or do you want to physically see all the items that were correct?
I think the inspector needs to see everything was correct.
That's what I am recommending. Is that they do that first, that they resolve that, the inspector's comfortable, and then review the list in that half an hour before we start.
Yes, and if I say, you know what, I don't know what an escutcheon is or whatever, please show it to me. I have a right to do that as a member of this committee.
Absolutely.
And you can tell me how they fixed it or whatever. And also you're reporting on, there probably will be a couple items that aren't fixed 2.5 months from now, and you'll say, well, these are left over, and we will track them 3 months from now to see if they're done. Again, that's what I want to see in the report.
Yeah, and I think that's the intent, is always
yeah.
be communicating that, but not unless, and you're open to it, if you want to do the physical walkthrough on the follow-up. But I think what I'm hearing is that we're comfortable with that work being done ahead of time, and
yes.
then report out on the completion of those items or what the status is
right.
at the beginning of
exactly.
that next inspection.
And we may say, you know what, we don't need to see any of this, thank you, let's move on to the new inspection.
Right. Okay.
Is that reasonable?
So just so I'm clear, Andrea was very helpful to set up the time between the hospital and the committee and myself. So if we have the next quarterly inspection scheduled for sometime in May, for example, or June, at 10 o'clock, maybe Steve Ballard and I would go around at 9 o'clock to check everything. Is that
you could
actually,
do it? The, you could do it the week before if you want.
Oh, okay.
You and Steve can schedule whenever you want.
Whenever he has a free minute. Okay.
Right, and then in that first half hour of our scheduled new inspection, then you'll do the update on what's completed. If there's a question that's asked, if they'd like to see a certain
item. And it might be the first 5 minutes. It might just take 5 minutes for you to tell us
right.
what's done, and we say, fine, let's move on.
Okay. So,
So per the sample process that we were provided from Grossmont Hospital, these minutes that are from the walkthrough, you would go through with Steve, the two of you would concur, and you would mark them complete.
Correct.
So they would be marked on the record
right.
as having been complete, and then any that are still pending would then get moved over onto the start of the next inspection report, carried forward as still pending.
Well, I would propose...
The Grossmont ones were set up.
I would propose a slight variation of that, and I think it's staff's responsibility to check it off, and we have the ability, we can sort of ask questions about it and whatever, but in other words, somebody from the district staff needs to be at the inspection the whole time. I'm saying, well,
oh yeah,
well, but he's the outside consultant. I mean, Chris or Chris's designate, I believe, should be on the inspection during the whole time, and the district board members that want to participate can be on some or all of it.
So
and
you are then requesting that, because that way I don't see us doing this twice. So I would not see Mr. Barnhart getting to a Steve days before, checking everything off, then redoing it again when he has a district staff member present. So then, because what I thought I had heard you say is you're going to take the first 30 minutes of each inspection period, and then you were going to spend that 30 minutes going over the prior list, which now I'm hearing you say you want Mr. Barnhart and a member of the staff, along with Steve, in that 30 minutes, and then the members of this committee could join as they see fit.
What do you think, Chris?
So is that...
But you also mentioned that he could schedule it at any time.
Well, I was having it be convenient.
Right.
So, what would you suggest?
My recommendation would be to allow Mr. Barnhart Dale and Steve to do the follow-up to ensure that the items are complete. They're reported on under the response column what the status is. If they're complete during this next quarter, they show up as complete there. Then they don't show on a future report. Those that are still not complete, they continue forward. What I'm hearing you say, you're maybe anticipating that a staff member would do that walkthrough again on the follow-up of these items previous to next inspection.
Do you think it's necessary to have?
I feel confident that, you know, especially with Dale's, you know, experience of the hospital and being there, no longer employed there, I feel there's an independence enough that the follow-up would be handled properly. And maybe
it's sort of like we had an outside consultant come in and do the seismic. We didn't walk around and check everything that they did either, because we don't know what we're looking at anyway.
Correct.
I think the only time I would really feel comfortable having staff there would be to do the checkoff. So when Dale and Steve go back and take a look at this list, I would want Chris or someone from the desert there to say, okay, yes, 1910 completed. Well, the district is saying yes, like our building, this thing that was needed is done and we're cool. So that's when I would want Chris.
What's what at the Grossmont thing, who is checking? Does it say who is checking at all?
Actually, I believe the hospital just reported that they completed the work.
So it's not a signature?
No.
I think if the hospital says it completed the work and Dale inspects it and says, yes, they completed the work, and that's fine. If we have questions, we can say we'd really like to see what that is. But
it is your building.
Yeah, I
know. And these are public areas. So, I mean, you can go look anytime really you want to.
Right.
And I think that part of, I shouldn't speak for you, but I kind of am. I think what we both recognize is that you are continually fixing these things. So you could fix an end cap and then somebody hits it with a gurney 3 days from now and it'll be back on the list.
And personally.
So I think we do have to recognize that these lists are just going to continue, continue on. I have a feeling you would agree. It gets fixed, it gets broke.
I have a concern though. We talked about the elevator. That's a concern to me that we are down to one elevator plus, I believe, the service elevator from basement. In the Sinatra Tower. And that's a huge concern.
Well, and I pointed out to
I
pointed out to Mike at the end of that inspection that I had seen on Facebook 2 days before that more than two elevators were out. One of our physicians had posted pictures of the out elevators on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it may be the day that we inspected it, the elevators in Sinatra Tower were working. But I am concerned. I agree with you. I am concerned about the elevators. And it's a very public thing, and I know you're concerned too.
So is there a timeline on the refurbishment of the one outside?
Actually, the elevator is refurbished. We are waiting for the state to sign off on the elevator to put it back into service. So the one that was under refurb, the second one we're refurbing, because we already did one of the elevators, the one we're working on currently, has been completed on its refurbishment. The state, we have a fire alarm system upgrade that's underway, and the state wants the fire alarm system upgrade completed before they sign off for use of the elevator. So that's what we're waiting for, is the final state approval to put it back into service. But it's been done. And then we had an elevator go down, which is requiring a custom fabricated part. And that's the other elevator that you're...
Right, that just happened like a week and a half ago.
Yeah, and it's a custom fabricated part, so it's anticipated it's going to be down for a bit.
So I guess, to me, the concern is emergency. How do we exit all of these patients?
Exactly.
I know you can only put one patient in an elevator, but
strategy? We use the lift equipment and the stairwells for a lot of the individuals, if you had to evacuate the building.
I presume that OSHPD doesn't say if you don't have a certain number of elevators, you can't operate the building, correct?
OSHPD's who was holding us up.
I know. I mean, can you call OSHPD and say, look, we have a safety issue here. We need this.
They are well aware.
And they're just saying tough?
Pretty much, yes.
Mm. Is there any way to put pressure on them to ask anyone to give them a call?
Our assembly people or state senator?
We can try to ask the government relations if there's any pressure.
Yeah, we can. It's a schedule.
Yeah. Well, their viewpoint is that they want their, so we can ask them a call.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a legitimate safety issue, which I think OSHPD should also be concerned about. So if we can't get them to do anything different, we can't get them to do anything different, but.
From an OSHPOD standpoint, you have to be prepared if you lose 100% of your elevators, and you have to have the proper lift and carry equipment on each of the floors to be able to evacuate those individuals. I mean, you have to go to your disaster plan. So they're gonna look at you and say, you're supposed to have a disaster plan for having all your elevators out.
Doesn't hurt to ask.
My opinion.
Doesn't hurt to ask. If government affairs could just check it,
yeah,
that would be great.
You can do that.
I understand that they probably would change their mind. Okay, getting back to the issue though, about the inspection, I understand what you're saying. I think that's okay, but I don't want you to
Yeah, it's our building, so I would just, if at the end of, well, no, during your second round of just going through and making sure that the things are completed, if there would be a staff member to say, yeah, this is completed, this is completed, this is completed, understanding that things do fall and break and need maintenance, right? But at the end of the day, it is our building. And I think you're right, our staff should be.
But isn't Dale designated by us to make sure that it happens?
But yeah. Dale's interest is nothing, right? Dale's interest is getting his job done. Our staff's interest is making sure that our hospital is up and running when we need it, how we need it, how we want it to be up and running.
Well, I don't know. What does the contract say? I mean, I have to say it, but I don't agree that that's Dale's interest.
I mean,
my interest is for the healthcare district.
Yeah.
That's who hired me to do this. I'm working for you, and I would.
I mean, there are things that I would like to see if there were, you know, significant kinds of things to be looked at for completion. I don't think it's beneficial to go look to see if there's a, you know, an escutcheon ring.
That's a good idea. So maybe only when there's
like important kinds of things, I would like to see that they've been completed.
So that actually brings me to another idea. Most of the things on this, I would call not just cosmetic. They're somewhat cosmetic.
No, there's regulatory things
in
there.
They're regulatory, cosmetic, and I guess in other words, is there a way to rank the outline things so that there would be ones that when they are fixed, we want to see it. At least the staff. In other words, I don't know. Can you think of an example? No.
I mean, if there's,
I guess anything that's regulatory, it's all in the same.
Yeah, like if there was an elevator issue, like we're talking about now, or if it's on the list, then, you know, to me, that's something that I would probably want to see and just acknowledge that, yeah, that was looked at.
Well, and if I were on the tour, and we have a right to go on the tour, I would say, yeah, you said it's all done, but I'd like to see the elevator that's working.
Right, right.
So, can we leave it like that?
We can.
Okay.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry, just to recap, Dale.
Thank you.
Dale and Steve will do the inspection at a separate time.
Re-inspection.
To follow up on the prior quarter's inspection items to correct, however you want to word that, prior to the next quarter's meeting.
At the beginning of the next quarter's meeting.
Beginning of the next quarter's meeting, there will be a update by Dale to the committee and staff as to what's the status of those items to be were completed.
And we can go look at
interim,
anything.
Yes. Wow. Interim staff would also participate with Dale and Steve on items that are of significance.
That's great. I also think, for example, let's say that during an inspection something really significant occurred and it's fixed. I kind of want to know that it didn't take 3 months to fix something that was really significant. And is there a way that we're notified? In other words, if we say, you know what, we don't want to wait the 3 months to see that X happened. that we just get notified that it's fixed? Am I making myself?
Like priority item, so in the intro, Steve was. Like the elevator goes up tomorrow.
So like elevator.
Keeping a running log of the things so that we can just update you as they're fixed. I mean,
I guess what I'm struggling with is all this is just good communications.
Yeah.
Right. And we're trying to legislate, regulate, or put in policy good communications. I mean, at any point in time, and I think you all have done it since I've been here, I mean, you picked up the phone.
Right.
We've answered the questions, we've provided the information, I know I've provided mold tests and air samples and
well, anything significant you've reported to the CEO.
Yeah.
Anything that's significant you've reported to the CEO who's reported to us.
I feel like if there's something you're concerned about, interested in, if you want to walk over now and go look at the elevators that are down, I mean, that's...
We're having theoretical
that's
thoughts.
That's fine. I just would caution about over...
Right, and it might be. I might recommend something if there's something that we feel with a walkthrough that's a major safety issue, but maybe the communication then is with Dale, with Steve, that got resolved promptly, and that we just get communicated that whether it's hospital staff or through Dale. I think Dale could easily communicate that.
I suggest we leave it the way we said, and then if something happens that isn't being met by this process, we can amend it. But we will have to, I mean, next Tuesday, we will be reporting to the board that we met today, that the report was gone over, that there are several items that were identified, and that we will, at the next quarterly thing, we will be rechecking to make sure that they've completed, they've been completed and have not completed what the timeline is, and there'll probably be new things added that need to be done. And I may mention some of the things so that the board knows that I'm not just saying, yes, we did it, and believe me, we did it.
Right.
So I think that's the process. Everybody okay with that? Are there any other questions?
You okay, does regional staff, you okay with it?
So I'll just call Steve and work the time that's convenient for him.
You go over the list, you'll indicate what's been completed, indicate anything that's been pending that needs to be carried over to the, carry over to the next list.
Yeah, all those items will show on next month's report. Those that are completed will drop off for the future. There'll always be a record of everything, but there's no sense in keeping those completed items on the list going forward.
And to clarify what you just said, if on the 1901, for example, the Monaco, I would write on the next report,
so say
repaired on April 4th or whatever the date is.
Below, first reported.
Completed. Okay, completed October 4th.
Yeah, so
on not
October 4th. Under first reported, you put the date and then completed.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you.
Okay, now just one question. So for the meeting next week, under my committee report, can we have this document in?
It will be published in the packet.
It will be published in the packet, along with the minutes of today's meeting, or no?
Yes.
Okay, so it'll be in the minutes, but this report will be an attachment.
Yes.
Correct.
Got it, so I'll be able to refer to it. Super. Okay. Any other questions,
Well,
comments?
Just then, just to kind of close the deal, then I'll work with Andrea and Chris for the next quarter, which I'd like to schedule sometime in June, and we'll just work on dates that'll work for the hospital, for essentially the east side of the hospital then, and then we'll continue in that fashion.
And I would recommend working towards completion like in early June, like we did with this in early March, so that we can have everything completed for the committee meeting
in June.
The third Tuesday.
Okay.
Monday in June.
Perfect. Third Tuesday?
Oh, right.
Sorry, Thursday.
Third Thursday.
Okay, thank you very much. Next item, the presentation or discussion of charity care policy and estimated dollar amount provided for indigent care.
So what I thought I would do is report to you the 2018 data with regard to charity and uninsured discount policies. And so starting off with charity care. You know, charity care is defined as any individual who is at less than 200% of the federal poverty level. And so those individuals are eligible for 100% write-off of any costs associated with their care. In the 2018 year, we had 131 admissions that qualified for charity care write-off, and we had 799 charity care outpatient individuals. So there were about 930 accounts in the 2018 year that were individuals under the 200% federal poverty limit that we wrote off. The write-off is done at the charge level, and so that equates to $23.8 million worth of charges that were written off under that particular category. The second category
I'm sorry, before you move on to the second category, or maybe, okay. How is that reported in terms of your tax liability? In other words, is it
I don't know.
Is it considered a charitable contribution?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's beyond my...
Okay.
The second category is the uninsured, and the way that is defined is an individual who doesn't have insurance who falls within a 201 to 350% of the federal poverty level, or their account liability or owed would be more than 10% of their annual household earnings. Those individuals are qualified for discounted care, and that care is discounted to a Medicaid rate. So during the 2018 year, we had 136 admissions that fell in the uninsured under the 350% federal poverty level classification, and we had a little over 3,700 outpatient accounts. And usually these outpatient accounts are generally emergency room, you know, generally. Sometimes they're imaging or others, but you do see, you know, folks that have challenges accessing care will tend to come to the emergency room. So that was another 3,850 individuals, and the charges written off to the discount rate was a little over $29 million. So when you take a look at the two programs to serve the underserved, we had about 4,800 accounts for $53 million of write-off in the 2018 year. We do post for the community's awareness that these programs are available to individuals living at the 350 and below federal poverty level, and those postings are in the registration areas and in the emergency room areas. We do staff the hospital, what's called MEP workers, and those are eligibility workers, because we work with individuals to determine where they fall in the spectrum, and then we also work with them to see if they'll qualify for any kind of government program, be it exchange, Medicaid, or whatever maybe offered to them. So we do staff 24/7 an individual that can work with families on what their eligibility potentially can be, and we have 13 trained staff in the facility on how to complete the applications, how to evaluate the applications, what is the information and documentation that is needed in order to be qualified for these various programs. You know, so every individual has to fill out an application, and then there are different requirements depending on whether it's the full charity, whether it's the uninsured, or whether there is a potential to qualify for an exchange product or a Medicaid product, and those are confidential applications. And then, if for some reason someone is requesting a level of benefit that the application does not show that they qualify. qualify for, then there is a requirement that they have to be notified in writing on why they may not be receiving the services or the discount that they're requesting to receive. So that's kind of a little bit about the program. These programs are posted on the OshPod website, and there is some governing regulations through AB 774 on how you are to administer these types of programs to make sure, you know, people are being fair, treated fairly, equally, that there is there's no adverse selection or discretion.
Any questions?
No.
I have a couple questions. You said it's reported on the OshPod website. Is the amount of
policy
is reported? Is the amount of charity care reported
that
anywhere?
That we administer annually, no. It's the application. It's the policy.
I know that if this were a not-for-profit hospital, mm-hmm. it would keep track of that amount. Probably not the billed amount, but the actual cost amount, and it would consider it community benefit. Because it has to have a certain percentage of community benefit to mm-hmm. justify its tax-exempt status.
I think it is billed amount.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, I think everybody has to report the same way.
So the only thing I'm interested in to know is obviously the nonprofits are reporting it to justify their tax-exempt status. It seems to me that somewhere, if you're giving this much charity care, and it's laudable, it's great, mm-hmm. that it would somehow get reported either in a tax filing or your community service
mm-hmm.
annual report or something. I'd just be interested to know, what did you say, 58 million?
52.9.
Okay. I just wonder if that appears anywhere, and it would be interesting to know.
We've included it in the community benefits booklet that we did last year, and have done that for all the hospitals.
We do. I just don't know if there's an official government kind of report.
Right. Cost report, possibly. But
That's what I was thinking. I'm speculating.
Yeah.
So.
You had it right, I think.
Right. Wait, yeah.
The report, we said how much charity care is.
A line item?
It's in our service line brochure and our community benefits
okay.
booklet for the network collectively.
Right.
But it may be
and
much
that, and it's all. For the 17 year, because when we did the booklet, we didn't have a closeout on the 18.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important because there's a lot of discussion in the country about the difference between for-profit and not-for-profit
mm-hmm.
hospitals. And, you know, it's not black and white. And I think the more one can highlight that both hospitals are giving charity care,
mm-hmm.
the better understanding there is about the difference between those.
Because really, all hospitals comply with AB 774 and all hospitals.
Right.
All.
Right, but the not-for-profits have to show that they're doing a certain percentage of revenue, or else they're going to have their not-for-profit status yanked away from them, their tax-exempt status yanked away from them. So it would seem to me that because you're paying taxes, that somehow the government would want to know you're doing a certain amount or whatever, either because you deduct it as a charitable contribution, and by the way, you do other charitable contributions in addition to writing off bills, just like
yeah, this is just those two categories.
Right,
there are
right.
Many
I mean,
other categories.
You sponsor things, you give money, all that. I don't know. I'm sort of stuck on this idea of a misunderstanding of the difference between for-profit and not-for-profit hospitals. That's my only comment.
I just have a question. Where do homeless people and children fall in this charity spectrum, if at all?
They would fall within these parameters, and it would be, you know, if you're a child, it would be household.
Okay.
So part of the calculation does go to what is the household.
But there's many. We've identified that many of the homeless. Actually, they qualify for IDHP, and a lot of them have insurance.
You'd be surprised,
but, yes.
Really,
it's not just
that.
Homeless
are not all uninsured,
right?
Well, with the homeless, unless they are undocumented, they qualify for Medi-Cal, and it's just a matter of getting the application in and hooked in.
And that's why the MEP workers are so
right.
important, is to
absolutely.
Be able to. But you know, you also even though you have these MEP paperwork, you have to respect what the individual chooses, and some individuals don't want to participate or don't want to secure these services or don't want to disclose the information that's required on the application. And we may have folks that are homeless, but it's their preferred lifestyle. Or as odd as that might sound, we do have individuals that we run into that say, this is the way I live, there's nothing wrong with the way I live, off the grid. My culture, and then you have to respect that culture.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, any other agenda items? I have one, but any other? I would like maybe at the next meeting, we had a long discussion last week about what Desert Regional is doing for complying with AB, whatever it's called, on homeless.
SB, whatever, okay.
Which was great. I have since heard some of the things other hospitals are doing, and I understand that there's some cooperation between the hospitals in trying to come up with consistent ways of accessing shelter beds and things like that. Could we have a follow-up report? I'd like to hear what is being done cooperatively between the hospitals. We represent a district which is made up of three hospitals, basically. And I know they're working together on Senate Bill or whatever. And I'd like I'd like us to hear about it so that we can report to the board that you and the other hospitals are working together on this. I know it's happening because I'm hearing about it. We didn't talk about it last time. We talked about what Desert was doing, which is great. But could we have a follow-up on that at some point?
I don't know how we would do that, because it's not really our story to tell.
I guess the law requires that we have some community collaboration in place by July.
Yeah.
So it's a little premature to report.
Then maybe report that you're working on community. Yeah. So I introduced Christine to...
What I would like to suggest is maybe reach out to Kevin Porter at the Riverside Hospital Association of Southern California.
Oh, he's been to our meetings.
Yeah.
So he has been to your meetings, and to, because you're interested in what the industry and the larger collaborative,
particularly in the Coachella Valley,
that he may be able to send his individual who's representing the healthcare industry in this compliance effort and talk a little bit more, because we might learn something too through his presentation about what he's experiencing throughout the county on how facilities, not just hospital to hospital, but with the, you know, with some of the providers out in the community, what some of those best practices are looking like, and then we could probably all learn.
Okay.
Other subject, it's too early.
Okay. No, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Would it be appropriate? I'm thinking out loud now, so don't. Would it be appropriate to ask if we had him to come to a meeting, because you're going to be there, to ask a representative from Eisenhower to be here to say what they're doing, so that we could kind of have an overall view of what the hospitals are doing for the homeless? Would that be a problem to anybody at this meeting?
At the next one?
Whenever we can get Porter or somebody from the hospital
station. I kind of see them as being two different things.
Okay.
So what I was suggesting is have Porter come and talk about it from the industry, County of Riverside, larger perspective.
Okay.
And then we could follow up, because we'd be closer to the system design, and then we'd have the insights that he's offering. Then we could follow up in collaboration.
I'm not stuck on the timing of this, but at some point, I feel that we, maybe not this committee, but the district, needs to have a report on what the various hospitals are doing in the Coachella Valley to deal with hospital inpatient and ER discharges. And rather than just hear from one hospital, since we are one Coachella Valley, I'd like to hear it together in some point. Now, I'm not sure this is the right committee, because this is a hospital oversight and lease compliance committee, So I'm going to talk with Chris about maybe this is something we could just bring to the board at some point with a little update.
And see what Kevin has to offer.
Right. But we could invite Kevin here to this committee.
Or to the regular board.
Okay. We'll talk about it. Is that all right? If we just talk about how to do it? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I will tell you, I sort of struggle. There are so many different approaches going on for homeless and tax that it feels a little siloed and fragmented to me.
One of the reasons I'm pushing this is that I've now heard from several sources we are already in compliance with Senate Bill whatever, and are we in compliance? And I'm not talking about Desert Regional. I've heard from other hospitals. And I think that as a district, we need to know that the hospitals in our district are in compliance. And if they're not, what are the barriers? And is there something we need to do as a district to help?
Well, and compliance has timelines.
Stages.
So
there was January compliance and there's July compliance,
so there's different.
Yeah. What I've heard is that we're already in compliance with the July criteria, not from this hospital. And I think that the district has a right to know about that because it affects district residents.
And I'm thinking that district would be better served as getting educated about it on what that means through the hospital association and then have the next follow-up.
Okay. That's fine. I'm thinking out loud. We will discuss it with staff and you how to do that. It might not be appropriate to have some of the discussion at this meeting.
I will tell you the numbers are much, much greater than I expected.
The what?
The numbers are much higher than I expected. Now that we're actively screening and logging, I think that there are a lot of individuals that were homeless, that were presenting for care, that we may not even have good optics for them homeless.
Yeah.
Because we weren't asking the right questions.
Well, and I think that this hospital and JFK are probably at higher risk to having the homeless show up in their emergency room than the other hospitals. So that's an issue too, that again, it's looking at the district, the Coachella Valley, mm-hmm. how it's dealing with homelessness, mm-hmm. and indeed the medical side of homelessness is something that I think the district should be.
Yeah, and it's definitely a connector with the collaborative that's being proposed. It all has to work together. So having the overall information,
right.
because of that, that's part of the challenge is when those patients need a safe discharge from here, what are the other efforts that this district is helping fund with the other entities and resources to have places available for them to go?
Right.
I think that's,
absolutely.
So it definitely needs, it's a big communication opportunity.
Yeah. And I think it's a story, I know that the press is reporting on it, and they're wanting answers, and I want to probably before they're available, and I want the district to be part of the story of how it's being dealt with. Obviously, the Senate bill is about the hospitals, but the whole, as you said, Linda, the homelessness issue is more than just the hospitals.
It's a component.
And okay.
Michelle raised a good point about the. Homeless that are choosing that lifestyle, because the bill does not address that problem, and the ones that are frequently accessing medical care have very complex needs. They're refusing services offered. They want to be in their, so this is helping a lot get to a shelter, but there is a lot continually using the system that have very complex medical needs, and they don't want the help.
Well, I was talking to a reporter last.
That's going to be the biggest challenge.
Last week, and I was reporting on the last report about how what percentage went to the shelter and how a lot of them didn't want to go in the shelter, and you gave us a number of how many went to their car, and the reporter said, "Well, why did they go to their car?" And I said, "Because they wanted to." It's a very complex thing. I think we just need to keep talking. That's all. Okay, great. Are there any other proposed agenda items? So next month is April, and we won't have a report on the hospital inspection yet. We have any leapfrog or CMS reporting by then? No? So let's see if we can have the California Hospital Association talk about SB whatever.
What is it? SB
1152. We should put a sign up everywhere. SB 1152.
Okay. I just learned AB 1234. It's taken me 2 years to learn AB 1234.
What is AB 1234?
Ethics training.
Sure, that's like 101. But yeah.
And the only reason I learned it is because it's 1234. It's like my password on my phone, but I won't tell you what it is.
Well, now that's public record. So.
All right, so we'll try to schedule that. If we don't, then we might not have a meeting next month. We'll let everybody know. Okay? Great. Anything else? Any comments? Okay, meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.